Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you. For I desire to worship and obey.
Brother Lonnie, come to stand to our feet.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary.
Saints, I want to get the first slide up here because it shows us what, I haven't got my glasses on, I can't read without them. Thank you, Brother Franco, appreciate that. I see him running the arrow there for me. Thank you. Good, it's right there. Okay, open up to Revelations 1. I'll tell you where we're going tonight, and I'll reemphasize it again at the close of the meeting. Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed is just one fantastic book. Amen. And so we've asked Voice of God to send us a few hundred copies so that everybody can have a copy. And so then tonight I want to move in that direction, and then starting next Wednesday we're going to, as a church, go through Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed. And I'll go ahead and tell you what we're going to find as we study the Seven Seals book now, and you'll see I'm kind of pulling the heart out of what I want to say tonight, but the main thing is that you get it, not that I stretch it out and make it a beautiful presentation. The main thing is that you see it. As we go through these quotes tonight out of the Seventh Seal and a few other quotes, you'll find Brother Branham tying the Seventh Seal to the third pull. He says, you should have caught it. This is that third pull. What he doesn't remind you of is that when the angel of the Lord was taking him through those first three pulls, 1, 2, 3, 4, he says, now this third pull will not be a public show, and you're not to explain it. So when Brother Branham is teaching in the church in the seals, he says, I've got a note right here, stop, go no further, because he doesn't tell you, but he's under instructions, don't explain it, because this is the third pull, and it'll not be a public show. So consequently, as you read the seals book, it is not clear about the seventh seal, except little hints here and there, which we'll pick up on those. But then when we get into Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed, we'll actually find the seventh seal very clear there, even though the word seventh seal is not used in the book. But you'll find that it's there. And so that's the direction we're going, and I want you to see it. Because remember, the whole key of this message is to find out who you are. That's the whole key. Who are you? And that's what this age is all about. Because as Brother Branham said, he says the word won't work for you till you know who you are in the word. It wouldn't work for Jesus. The word worked for Jesus because he knew who he was in Scripture. Word for Paul because he knew who he was in the Scripture. And we're beginning to get it, but God's got to move it from our head to our heart, and then he'll quicken it. All right, now these first few scriptures, which we'll read this one place, and then you can be seated, and then we'll get some more, are just gathering the scriptures some of the scriptures that will be referred to as we go through these, so that we don't have to stop and explain so much. You'll already know where it is in the scripture, because there'll just be quick references to it. So Revelations chapter 1, it's picking up at verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Now we're going to use the illustration of the candlestick, so keep that in your mind. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with the garment down to foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. When Brother Branham preached that one sermon teaching on the book of Revelation, He pointed out that he says, notice it's like the Son of Man, it's not the Son of Man. He said it's like the Son of Man, and it's girt about the paps, he says, which is a woman's breast. So therefore, it's Christ in the bride in each age. Because Christ in the bride will judge each age. So the way he stands in the midst of the seven candlesticks, which we'll find in the next verses as the churches, is he stands in the elect people, bringing the word to the age. With a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white as snow, it's white as snow. Now, he'll just make a reference to this because when in the Revelation of Jesus Christ series, in the Church Age book also, when he explains this, he talks about why was his hair be white as wool? Because it's a wig that a judge wears. When he steps into the office of judge, he puts on this white wig to depict age and wisdom. And so this is now depicting Christ as moving into the era of judge. As a white as snow, his eyes were as flames of fire, his feet like the fine brass, and they burned as a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. Now, like Brother Ram said, the preachers all through the ages. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Now, stars in the simplest sense represent seed of Abraham. You may read, God told Abraham, look at the heavens, so see the stars, so shall thy seed be. Look at the sand of the sea, so shall thy seed be. In Numbers, so we had a heavenly seed and an earthly seed. So the stars, so these then now are seven of the seed of Abraham. Remember, to be a seed of Abraham, you have to be in Christ, Galatians tells us. So therefore, in Christ, so there's seven elect that are held in the right hand of Jesus, the place of power and authority, right hand. He's my right-hand man. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, that's always the word, and his countenance was as the sun, shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, right hand, and said unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of death and of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels, messengers, of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which you saw are the seven churches. Lord Jesus, getting into territory that's extremely, I feel, important for us to kind of understand who we are, what we are, and what you're doing in this age. And really, if we can see what we're being shown, it really is another testimony we're at the end. And God, we want with all of our power to be ready for the meeting in the air, because the message came to give us that rapturing grace. So we commit ourselves in the service to you. Bring glory to yourself. Give us understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Hold your Bible open. We're going to look at a few more scriptures. We're still gathering scriptures here. So Revelation 6 now. So we looked at the churches. Chapters 2 and 3, we're going to look at them. Chapters 2 and 3 are the seven churches of Asia, and that takes us through the church ages. And then at the end of the age, God opens up the mysteries that have been sealed. And the reason he opens it up at the end is because every church age had to walk by faith. They were not to know what we know. But the message that's come to us is to, one of the quotes we'll read tonight, is to bring you into a rest. Because the secret of the supernatural working in your life is relax. Not drum it up, not force it forward, but rest in the promises of God and rest in who you are. And then that which is within you can manifest. When you're struggling to do it, you're still putting yourself under the law somewhat. You relax and let Christ do it. He's the potter. We're only clay. So at the end of the age then comes the unveiling of these mysteries, the same way as Daniel showed that the political mysteries of the world would be revealed at the time of the end. So we find that the mysteries of the church world were to be revealed at the time of the end. So the opening of the seals is part of that mystery. So Revelation 6:1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of a thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, come and see. Now, if you were to go back into chapter 4, it says the first beast, second beast, third beast, and fourth beast are a lion, an ox, a man, and an eagle. You can find that in chapter 4. You can look at it. So the first beast that said, come and see it, of course, would be the lion. And behold, and a white horse went out. And then verse 3, the second beast said, verse 5, and when he'd opened the third seal, the third beast said, come and see. And then in verse 7, when he'd opened the fourth seal, the fourth beast said, come and see. The beasts are the lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle. So those are the first four seals. And so we'll catch those because they'll tie into what we're talking about. So there's the first four seals. And we'll get into the others a little bit more as we go on. There's the fifth, sixth, and the seventh seal as we go on. But I'm aiming toward getting toward the sixth seal. And the seals are the seals on the book of redemption. So consequently, to take the book means to take the authority of redemption. And we find in studying the message that there's, in one sense, two takings of the book. You've heard me say this before. There's a one taking of the book to show us how he redeemed our soul. And then in Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, Brother Branham says one day God will come and take that book. And he says, that's the bride. She's the words written in the book. So the Lamb doesn't come to earth to pick up a Bible. He comes to earth to pick up a bride. And she becomes, because all the word has been poured into her. You've heard Brother Branham say, all that God was, he poured into Christ. All that Christ was, he pours into the church. She becomes the living word. And when she does, he takes her. When we talk about the coming of the Lord and the manifestation we all long to see, because we say, well, if the Lord is here, why don't we see more? Because the full body's not full yet. And he doesn't put the cap on the pyramid until every member's in place. But when the last elected seed comes in, then the body of Christ for this age is complete. Then he can show a manifestation. We're waiting for that last seed to come in. In the meantime, we all get ourselves ready. And then he says, when the last member comes in and takes their place, then it's all over. It'll be a short, quick work to show she had it and she'll be taken off the face of the earth. So we're working into that direction. And so now that's, okay, Revelations 8:1, that's now we're up to the seventh seal. We talked about the first six. We'll go back over them just a little bit in a moment in more detail. Now, in chapter 8, this is the seventh seal. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I'm going to read a little further than we normally do. There was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour, and I saw seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And the reason I'm reading that is because there's a use of the term trumpets in more than one way. And starting below what we're reading in chapter 8, where it says the first verse 7, and the first angel sounded, and that's a trumpet, and then verse 8, verse 8, the second angel and the third angel. These are trumpet angels to Israel. And they are, so the plan of redemption that is hidden under the seals to us is hidden under the trumpets to Israel. And that's why Brother Branham, when he went to preach the trumpets, he says they don't pertain to us. They pertain to Israel. So they hold the plan of redemption, which those two witnesses of Revelation chapter 11 will fully unveil to the Jews what God's been doing with them all through the church ages, we'll call it trumpet ages. But now God is unveiling to us what he's doing under the plan of redemption for the Gentiles. And so then each church age messenger has a gospel trumpet. And then there's a trumpet that sounds in the shout voice trumpet, which is the resurrection reference. There's a trumpet. And then in Corinthians 15, it says that the last trump will all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of eye. So there's a lot of trumps that are involved in what we're going on here. So we always have to kind of watch and see which trumpet are we talking about here. Now, Revelation chapter 10, Brother Branham tied this to the seventh seal very, very specifically. And so let's read it, because there's parts in here that we'll go into in more depth as we go along here. Revelation 10:1, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with the cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his feet were as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. So in chapter 1, verse 16, we saw his face as the sun, and his feet as pillar of fire. So this is Christ again. Christ the mighty angel now coming down. So another might come down from heaven. So this is Christ condescending down now. And he had in his hand a little book open, which when he, it said his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. So this is the same book that in chapter 5, verse 1, is in the right hand of God. And it's a closed book, and nobody's worthy to take it except the Lamb. And then now here we are with Christ, who is the Lamb, now with the book in his hand, and you notice it uses the term open book. Why? Because we've already heard the seals, and they've been opened to us. Verse 3, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. That's a key we need to follow that. So seven thunders uttered their voices, and when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. So this time no longer is not a big axe coming down and cutting off a chain of events, but rather everything that's been created under time. God created time to deal with sin. And so now that we're coming to the end of redemption, time, things created under time to deal with sin can now come to an end, or created to deal with sin, or the results of sin. They all come to an end under this time shall be no longer, which is the seventh seal. Under the seventh seal, everything comes to an end. But it doesn't all happen at once. It happens in its season. For example, God has finished dealing with church systems. They served their purpose to be carriers of life, though they were the life, but they were not the life. But being carriers of life, God finished dealing with them. That's why you see all the churches going so wacko the way they are, and putting in homosexuals in the pulpit, and women preachers all over the place, all kinds of things contrary to the word. Why? Because the life has left the systems. And so God has finished dealing with church systems. He can still deal with the people in there individually, but as far as dealing with the churches, he's finished. Brother Branham, I'll give you the quote, Brother Branham. Brother Branham says, when God opened up those seven seals and let the church look back and see how he'd always been with her, that finished at the age of the church. And so now that's why Brother Branham called where we are now the bride age. And we'll go into that just a little bit more in a moment. Verse 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he has declared to his servants the prophets. That'll take us as far as we need for our scriptures for the moment. We'll look at some more scriptures. Now, I've got most everything written down, and the reason, I've told you this before, a lot of the reasons that I put so much down is not just for my sake. I want you to see it's in the message. I'm not manufacturing, it's in the message. And by doing so, I'm hoping that it'll encourage you to get in the message. So the seventh seal and the coming of the Lord, we'll find they are very closely tied together. So Revelations 8:1, we'll read it again. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And then it a few more verses, it goes down to the seven Jewish trumpets, but it seems to have a tie-in to the Gentile trumpets also. Now, that scripture that we just read back in 1960, the quote you're looking at the bottom now, I want you to notice the way Brother Branham words it back in 1960, because the seals were actually opened in 1963. So this is before that time. But he was still a prophet, so there was a certain insight there. Sardisian Church Age, Revelation of Jesus Christ series back in 1960. And Jesus comes from heaven, and 10,000 times 10,000 of his saints. And the Bible says that the heavens was empty for the space of half hour. We read up there it was silent. Well, it sure would be silent if it's empty, right? And the heavens was empty for the space of half an hour. Where is this big fellow God then? See? He's in Christ, sure. And so then where's Christ? He's doing a work here on earth. Okay, so now don't let your thinking stop right there. all that God was, he poured into Christ. All that Christ was, he pours into the church. So therefore, it isn't that the big fella that he talks about here, God, where is he? He's in Christ. But where's Christ? In the church. So then when we come down to this last age, when all seven seals are open and all seven anointings have been released to the church, where's Christ? In the church. When I say church, I mean bride, not system. Okay, now here's where the confusion comes in about his coming, the coming of the Lord. There's a few scriptures that people just get it wrong. In Revelations 1:7, it says, "Behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye shall see him." And when you look at that, you say, there he is, there's the coming of the Lord, praise God. And you'll find out many of the pictures that are depicted, and most of the people that talk about the coming of the Lord, they're waiting for the heavens to open up and the skies to blast and the trumpets to sound, and we see Christ coming through the clouds. Well, that's not for the bride. It may be later, it will be later, but it's not for the bride. It happens later. And so the parallels, I've touched on this before, the Alpha Omega principle is always the same. When we plant the seed, it's one seed, and when you harvest the seed, it's the same seed again. It's gone through a cycle in between times. And so when Jesus came to the Jews, and then in the book of Acts, well, just read it. Go to the book of Acts chapter 1. I think we start about verse 8, if I remember right. It's when he's about to ascend into the heavens. Yeah, Acts 1, 8, he promises them to go up and become powerful with the Holy Ghost. Verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into the heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into the heavens." Well, that's, they saw him go up, and in Revelations 1, they see him come back. That's to the Jews. But to the Gentiles, Paul never met Jesus except in the form of the pillar of fire. So the only Jesus the Gentiles knew was Jesus in the form of the pillar of fire. So how did he come back to the Gentiles at the end? As the pillar of fire. And so he comes back to the Jews physically. He was there physically. He comes back physically. When he came to the Gentiles, the messenger knew him as the pillar of fire. He returns as the pillar of fire. You remember how it's been brought out that it is those who met the pillar of fire that wrote most of the Bible. Moses met the pillar of fire, wrote the first five books of the Bible, and Paul met the pillar of fire, wrote most of the New Testament, and then William Branham met the pillar of fire and interpreted the New Testament for us. So it's always the pillar of fire experience that separates a man out. So Revelations 1:7, and they also which pierced him. Now that does have compound meaning because it'll apply at that time. We know that the Jews literally pierced him, but the Gentiles with their creeds and dogmas have pierced him with their ungodly doctrines. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so, amen. So when the bride sees him, she's not wailing, she's rejoicing. So these people are wailing because it happens during the tribulation judgment. So this is not the coming that we are teaching on. The one we're teaching on is Revelation 16:15. Behold, I come as a thief. So that, of course, ties us back to 1 Thessalonians 4:15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent. And you remember how Brother Marm always put the word hindered in there. Shall not hinder them which are asleep. We're not going to stop them from resurrecting. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, we'll get to it in a minute here. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So this is what's commonly called the rapture. But when Brother Branham preached the message rapture, he says the rapture is threefold, just the same way that that, remember he said the seventh seal is in three folds. So he says, this is what we're preparing for, the rapture, to meet him in the air, not the every eye shall see him coming. So notice that the rapture is also threefold, just the same way that Brother Branham said it was. So we got one, two, three, shout, voice, trump. And there's one key wording to me in the rapture tape that to me makes it understandable. He says, and he does all three while descending. Didn't say he does all three when he gets here. He does all three while descending. So therefore, what it means is that by the shout, he's drawn closer to us. By the voice, he's closer yet. And by the trump, we see him in the air. Are we together? It's just a drawing closer as we get further into the unveiled word. Now, it is the rising of the sun. This is now, I want you to notice up there, this is April 18th, 1965. So this is about 2 years now after the opening of the seals. Now look what we've seen in this day. The quickening power has come to us to open the seven seals. What was that? The intelligence of a man? No. The quickening power of God. See, the quickening power of God foretold this would take place. See, the quickening power of God made the world to testify to it. It's the truth. The angel of the Lord, I told you, was around in the pillar of fire, quickening power, let the world testify that it's truth. And in that, they didn't know what it was, and we knew, just look this away, it's our Lord up there, you see. Well, he's referring to the picture in Life magazine. And you remember when Brother Branham said that he was looking at it, and he says, the angel of the Lord said, turn it right. And he thought, well, I've got the top of the page at the top, that's right. So then when he took it and turned it clockwise, then of course we get the next image, which is here, which many of the black and whites actually show a little, you can't hardly see it in this color picture, but show a little bit of the eyes, nose, and you get the feeling of the white wigged one with the face of Christ in there compared to Hoffman's head of Christ. So he's referring to that. He says they took it, they didn't know what it was, but we know. And then this is the same quote now going on. It says, he is the one who opened those seals. He is those seals. This is important thinking now. He is those seals, for the whole word of God is Christ, and Christ is the seals that was opened. What is the opening of the seals then? Revealing Christ. So with the opening of the seals, we got to see how Christ was working all through seven church ages. The seven spirits of Christ that you can read about in chapter 4 and chapter 5 were the anointing on the seven church age messengers. So that was Christ, because each messenger was Christ to the age, and what they did with the messenger was what they did with Christ. And then the lion, ox, man, eagle denoted the nature which Christ would use to anoint those church age messengers. And the very seven angels which represented the seven churches all completed, and we couldn't even see it. He's referring to the cloud. And they did. They took the picture, not us. And there he is standing there, supreme judge, remember the white wigged one, showing that he is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. What an identification. Quickening power did that to us. So we notice how he tied in with the cloud, that it was fully representing Christ in the form of judge up there. Now, many have taken that and they get kind of nasty and talk to people in a very hard, harsh way. And then they say, well, how can I help but do that, because the spirit of the judge is upon me? And they've got their message mixed up. That isn't quite yet. So we got our seven church ages now, and then just to give you an illustration, the first three church ages were under that lion anointing. You remember, the first beast said unto me, come and see. So the first three churches were under the lion anointing, which was the word, the way that Paul described it, and the first three messengers, Paul, Irenaeus, and Martin, were trying to hold the church to Paul's message, but they were slowly losing their grip, but it held it for three church ages. And then in the third church ages, when the Roman Catholic Church formed and the White Horse Rider was crowned, which was the Antichrist Rider, it was crowned, and then it began moving then toward the Dark Ages, which happens here under the Ox Age in that Middle Age. And so God gave him the beast of an animal of burden and sacrifice anointing to the church. And then the man age, this is again where some miss it. The man age was Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost. Many want to take the Laodicean church age opened up and put the eagle anointing on there. It didn't open with an eagle anointing. It opened under a man age. And Brother Branham says that Pentecost denominated. He says, but that's the logical thing to do under a man anointing. So the eagle anointing didn't come until the church goes into darkness. And then that's right at the end of the age, as you can see right at the edge there. So then over here on the very last, we have the eagle anointing, which starts when the church goes into darkness, is because they rejected what the eagle brought. That's why they go into total darkness. And then you notice I put the line going way off because the eagle, which represents prophet, flies right on over to Israel. Not the same man, but the same anointing. And then they receive a prophetic message to bring Christ to them under Revelation chapter 11. So the first seal, second seal, third seal, fourth seal. So now we're under the fourth seal right now. We're not beyond it. We're not, in fact, we're right in the middle of the fourth seal. And so the Antichrist hasn't been given power yet and won't until the bride goes, but then will. That's part under the fourth seal because the church has to go through the tribulation. And so we notice now we got four seals. Remember, we're aiming towards the seventh. Now, the next seals, we notice they have no more beast, no more white, red, black, pale horse rider, and no more lion, ox, man, and eagle. Why? Because God is finished with the church, and we're dealing with the plan of redemption in another manner after the fourth seal. So the fifth seal is the mystery of redemption for the elect Jews from Calvary to the rapture. Don't want to go into it, but I'll just tell you what it is. That's the fifth seal, how God deals with those Jews from the past. And then the sixth seal is the great tribulation, which unveils the mystery of the redemption of the foolish virgin. She's purged by the shedding of her own blood in the tribulation. The 144,000 are called out by the two witnesses of Revelation 11 during the tribulation. And then the earth is purged with the fire that comes at the end of the tribulation. So that's the sixth seal. And then the seventh seal is the time no more that we read about in Revelation chapter 10, which will be better explained as we continue on. So here's some of the highlights about this seventh seal, this time no more seventh seal. This is out of the book now, the seventh seal. Now, I want to make this real clear. Every time that these seals has come to the place, everything that I ever believed on them and has read of other people has been contrary to what come to me in the room. And that's why he was rejected. Because what he brought was so different that it didn't match up with anybody's theology, and they said he's gone off the word. But actually, he was trying to bring the people back to the word. Seventh seal. Now, the eighth chapter only reveals the scene of the seventh seal where nothing else is revealed, just bigger print. The seventh seal is perfectly mute. And if I only had time to show you all the way back from Genesis, the seventh seal is spoke of. We'll get to that next week when we get into Christ the mystery. Still on the seventh seal, paragraph 245. And now, as certain as I stand on the platform tonight, I had the revelation that revealed, it's in a threefold manner, that I will speak to you by God's help of a fold of it. Now, you remember on the rapture, shout, voice, trump, I wanted you to see threefold manner. The seventh seal, threefold manner. Here's the revelation to begin. I want to tell you what it is. What happens is that those seven thunders that he heard thunder and was forbidden to write, that's what the mystery is laying behind those seven consecutive thunders rolling out. Seven consecutive thunders. Now notice now. So one fold of the seventh seal is the seven thunders. So he said there's three folds. One is the seven thunders. Well, I'll explain a little bit there. The seven thunders are the mysteries that were hidden in the seals. Church Age Book tells you that. And so the mysteries that were hidden in the seals is what gives the church rapturing grace. So therefore, so part of the seventh seal, if it's going to be the coming of the Lord and we're going to meet him in the air, then there has to be a grace to put us in position, a message to put us in position to meet him in the air. So it takes the unveiled word, which is hidden under those seven thunders, are the mysteries hidden in the seals. And so then there's where our mysteries come out. Remember Brother Branham in the fourth seal, I think it was, he said, there's been nothing yet to quicken the bride. Now this is 1963, and think of all the supernatural that took place in his ministry from 1947 to March 1963, and he says, there's been nothing yet to quicken the bride. He says, she's waiting for the word. Amen. See? And so that's what came. And that was the transition point when the seals opened up. From that point on, we have the bride's message. And then he says, what is the shout of the shout voice trump? He said, it's the message of the hour to gather the elect to the word, which is Christ. So everything is tying together. All these loose ends are just fitting together. So it's a threefold matter. Okay, we're going to talk about thunder in just a minute. Seven thunders. Turn with me in your Bible again. You probably know these, but let's look at them anyway. John 12. We'll shorten it a little bit. Let's start at verse 27. John 12, 27. Jesus speaking, if you got a red letter Bible. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I into this world. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And the people therefore that stood by and heard it said, it thundered. Others said, an angel spoke to him. And Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sake. So now we find out that the thunder represented the voice of God. Now go to Revelation chapter 6. To remind you what was said here. Now, Revelation 6:1, this is about the opening the seals. 6:1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of a thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, come and see. In other words, God spoke. It was the thunder. God spoke. We'll get more into that in a minute. And then Revelation 10:1-4, as we read already, and it says what the seven thunders speak, seal up, and don't write them. So God spoke. Now that we know what the thunders is, God spoke seven times, and John was about to write, and he was told, don't write, seal it up. So what did God speak? That's what's under the seals. He spoke through seven messengers in seven church ages, and now we know it was God speaking to the age. And that's why we can say what the people did with the messenger is what they did with God. What the messengers were to the church ages is the same as what the prophets were to Israel. And so when Israel rejected a prophet, they rejected God. You remember Samuel appealed to God and says, they've rejected me. And God says, no, they haven't rejected you, they rejected me. Because you weren't speaking your words, you were speaking my words. And so that the same thing we find goes through. These men under the seven spirits of God speaking to each church age were Christ to the age. We often think that here Israel was tested with all those prophets through their time, through their hundreds and thousands of years. And then here we can believe in history of Jesus at Calvary 2,000 years ago and just believe that and everything is okay. No, every age has their test on the word. Can you believe when God brings his word to pass and God has chosen to work through man? And now that he's chosen to work through man, that's what they stumble over. Amen. Amen. Okay, Brother Branham speaks on the seven thunders now. He says, now notice when the seven angels come forth to sound their trumpets, there was one thunder. So you notice now these seven angels now that he's talking about here are chapter 6. And so now, but he calls it the thunder, sound their trumpets. They're sounding a gospel trumpet. That's why I said over in Revelation 8:1 that seven trumpets could actually have a compound meaning. So I'm not saying it does. I'm not sure. There was one thunder. And when Israel was gathered, there was a trumpet. That's the trumpets out that we talked about, seven trumpets. And when time shall be no more, the last trumpet, that's when the dead in Christ shall rise, and so on. Now, one thunder, but here is seven straight thunders. Revelation 10, now seven thunders uttered their voices. But here is seven straight thunders right in a row. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That perfect number. Seven thunders in a row, uttering, making not just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 straight. Making just not, excuse me, I put a wrong word in there. Just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 straight. Well, we had seven days in a row where angels came and visited Brother Branham and opened up seven seals. And what were the seven thunders? The Church Age book says the mysteries under the seals. So God spoke 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, which was the mystery that was sealed up, and John was told, don't write it. Then the heavens couldn't write that. Heavens can't know about it, nothing else, because there's nothing to go on. It's a relaxing time. It was so great till it's kept secret from the angels. Now, what is the one thing that's kept secret from the angels and even Jesus himself didn't know? When are you coming again? That's always been the big secret. But then when we get into the Church Age book, Brother Branham adds the Christ the Mystery of God that we're going to start in next week. He adds another dimension. He says we need to know, what we don't know is the when and how of his coming. The whole church thinks they know how because they think he's going to come in the clouds, like Revelation 1 says. So they think they know how, but they don't know how. So the how and the when of his coming is the mystery. There'll be no mimics to this, see, because he don't know it. There's no way for him to know it. It's the third pull. He just knows nothing about it. See, he doesn't understand it. They talk about Satan. Now, there was only one great burst of thunder and seven angels appeared. Is that right? One burst of thunder, seven angels appeared. And I saw the Lamb when he had opened the first seal, and I heard as it was the voice of a thunder, and one of the four beasts said, come and see. Now, Brother Branham takes this incident in Revelation 6:1 that we read. There was a thunder, and a beast said, come and see. And he says, if the seals were opened and written in Revelation chapter 6 with the thunder, when they open on the backside of the book, won't there be a thunder? And what was it he compared? Remember the great blast? He says, I thought I'd been shot. And he says, and then suddenly seven angels appeared. So it was in the Bible term, it was a thunder, but to him it was a blast. Or it was staying together. So God just repeated the two right along, just set the scene all over again. He doesn't have to change his pattern. We just look for the pattern. Notice, one thunder, seven messengers that had been sealed up and cannot be revealed until this last day, at this age. See what I mean? You notice now, for the end time message, this seal, after all, he's revealed all the six seals, but it don't say nothing about the seventh. And the end time seal, when it starts, will be absolutely a total secret according to the Bible. Remember, he told us this was the third pull. That's to be secret, remember, not to be revealed to the public. Before knowing that, and remember, Revelation 10:1-7, chapter 10, 1-7, at the end of the seventh angel's message, all the mysteries of God should be known. We're at the end time, the opening of the seventh seal. Now notice what he said. He said up here, total secret according to the Bible. But then right down here, he says, we're at the time of the opening of the seventh seal. So what is it? The mystery's here. It isn't off in the future somewhere. The reason I say that, there's many churches that keep repeating the seventh seal's not opened. It is opened. We're at the end, friend, so it shall be soon, time shall run out. Millions will lose their lives. Millions that now believe they are saved will be counted fodder for the atomic age. Now, there is a whole earth to be purged. There will be such a thing that the moon, stars, and all nature will be purged. You see what it is? We've gone into that. We read about it in 2 Peter. You see what it is. The earth is renewing itself, being purged, getting ready for the millennium. The millennium's coming up, and see, everything that's got any filth in it will be purged during that sixth seal. That's the tribulation. Now, do you notice on the opening of the seventh seal, it's also a threefold mystery. This one I have, will speak, and have spoke. It's the mystery of the seven thunders. The seven thunders in heaven will unfold this mystery. It'll be right at the coming of Christ, because Christ said no one knew when he would return. Notice what he's tying together there. And we find that Christ, the Lamb, took the book in his hand. He opened the seventh seal. But you see, it's a hidden mystery. No one knows it. But it's right along with that, he said, no one would know his coming. They also would not know about this seven thunder mystery. See, it's connected together. What is it that's connected together? His coming and the seven thunders. Why is it tied together? If your mind hasn't put it together yet, by the time we go through the Christ the mystery, it'll put it together for you. This is still the quote from Brother Branham. This much we have understanding of today because the rest of it all unfolded, but this is not unfolded, the time of his coming. We must remember that this seventh seal is the end of time of all things. That's right. The things written in the seventh seal book, sealed up of the plan of redemption from the foundation of the world, it every bit ends. It is the end. It is the end of the struggling world. It is the end of struggling nature. It's the end of everything. It's the end of the trumpets. It's the end of the vials. It's the end of earth. It's the end of time. Time runs out. The Bible said so. Remember, we are yet in time. That's my quote now there. We are yet in time until the end of the millennium. Millennium is still time, 1,000 years. Now, this is the quote going on. Notice it's the end of the church age. It's the end of the seven seals. It's the end of the trumpets. It's the end of the vials. It even ends the ushering end of the millennium. That's on the seventh seal. Now, see, you'll see on the web where people say, Brother Branham says we're already in the millennium. He doesn't say that. He says the seventh seal, we end the ushering in of the millennium. We're being ushered into the millennium. We're not there yet. We're still being ushered. It's just like firing a rocket into the air, and that rocket explodes here. It goes up, and then it explodes again, and it puts out 5 stars, and one of those stars explodes, blows out 5 stars from that, and then one of them explodes, blows out 5 stars from it, and see, it fades on. If you get a mental picture of the rocket going up and exploding, and then this ends, that ends, that ends, then this explodes and goes up, then that ends, that ends, that ends. So everything that has to do with redemption and dealing with sin in this era called time goes off like a rocket. This ends, then that ends, then that ends, then that, and it's all, that's all the seventh seal. It ends all of those things. That's what the seventh seal, it just ends the time for the world. It ends the time for this, ends the time for that. It ends the time for this, ends the time. Everything just ended up on that seventh seal. To the best of my understanding now, to end the end, the seventh seal, started with the opening of the seven seals, March 1963, and continues until time is no more and we enter into the millennium at the end of the age. I'm right, this is the last slide now, so hang on with me. It is the rising of the sun, 1964. Repeating the same one. He is the one who opened those seals. He is those seals. In one place, Brother Branham says, Christ takes the seals off of himself. He is the Word, but he's never been clearly understood until this age. He is the one who opened those seals. He is those seals, for the whole Word of God is Christ, and Christ is the seals that was opened. What is the opening of the seals then? Revealing Christ. So next Wednesday, we're going to start through the book, Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed. And so that is where we are for now. And I think what, if anything's left hanging loose, the scriptures that go together there actually paint the picture if your spiritual mind put it together. But if it didn't, then Christ the Mystery of God Revealed will put it together because we're in there. We're part of that. That's part of us. So musicians and Jeff, you can come up. Lord Jesus, love you so much. Just marvel at the age that we're living in. And God, your love, your grace, your extreme wisdom to lay out a plan like you've laid out and keep it sealed, and yet it's there in the Word, and then unveil it at the last time for a people who, by grace, can catch what you're saying. As Brother Branham said, I think it was in the rapture tape, or maybe in time events made clear by prophecy, he says, now you're sitting here, but he says, If you're not one of those, this message will go over your head as far as east is from west. But God, we're sitting here because we've heard a message and we believe it. And it's your grace that's opening it to us. And God, how we want to know fully who we are in our head. And then we want it to drop down into our heart and bring in a greater, fuller manifestation of yourself. And you're the only one that can do it. We need the anointing to do it. And that's what we're calling for in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. Are you up here, Jeff? There we go.
Brother Brown makes a statement. Of course, it's also part of the heading in the book of Revelations in the King James Version. And it refers to the book of Revelations as the revelation of Jesus Christ, or the revelation of John, or the revelation that John received from Jesus Christ. But it's also called the Revelation Book of... Anybody can finish it for me? Revelation Book of... Right. Book of Symbols. Why do you suppose that the book of Revelations, particularly the seven seals, was put in symbol form? It's because there's so much information. And so the purpose of the symbology is to encapsulate all that information. And so he uses the term as a symbol, seven thunders. Or he uses the term as a symbol, seven lampstands. Or he uses the term as a symbol, a lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world that had seven eyes and seven horns. Well, we know that Jesus didn't have seven eyes and seven horns. We know that. It was symbolic of something, wasn't it? So what I want to do Sunday is... We're gonna basically look at those symbols, and then that makes the things that Brother Lonnie said tonight perfectly clear. For instance, Brother Bram says seven thunders. He says, well, that's just seven messengers or voices thundering out their message through seven ages. So when you have a voice, a Paul and Irenaeus, a Martin, a Columba, Luther, seven voices, and then when all of them, all of those messengers, their message is reintroduced. It's kind of like a curtain call. If you've ever been to a play, at the end of the drama, the curtain is closed. And then the curtain opens back up. And everybody that played a part in that great drama is now on stage. And that's what the seventh seal is. It's everybody that's played a part is now on stage. And so we're at the time of curtain call. And so everybody that's had a part in measure, now everybody's on stage. But Luther was a measure of Christ, and Paul was a measure of Christ, and all of them were measures. But put them all together, and what do you have? Well, you have a lamb with seven horns and seven eyes. You have all sevens together, and it's Jesus. And so what we're going to do is just take the symbols. We're only going to take four because we don't have time to go into any more Sunday. We're going to take four symbols, and we're going to look into those. So for some homework, if you've got your paper and a pencil, write these down. Revelations 1:20, Revelations 4, verse 5, and Revelations 5, 6, and then Zechariah 4. 1 through 14. So let me tell you those again. Revelations 1:20, Revelations 4:5, Revelations 5:6, and Zechariah 4, 1 through 14. And then to better understand what he's saying in Zechariah, just go to the next chapter behind Zechariah chapter 3 and look at 8 and 10, verses 8 and 10. All of these are the same symbols. The same symbols. So we're going to look at those same symbols, and then in doing so, we're going to find exactly who we are and where we are in time. It's a very, very clear, but God knew there would be so much information. Brother Lonnie tonight gave you a massive amount of information, a lot of quotes and a lot of scriptures. So God says, you know what? I know that the human mind loves to think in pictures. God understands that. God made our mind to think in pictures. So then what we're going to do is we're going to show you those pictures Sunday and then see exactly what they mean, and it's really clear, really clear. Let's stand together and sing a song to him. I think I had it written down. Let me go back and see if I can find it back here on, I think, page 4 or 5. I hardly looked up tonight. I was just writing, 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 writing. Lord, I want to love you more. Let's just sing that. We'll dismiss you with that song. Lord, I want to love you more. Amen.
Oh, Lord, I want to love you more than I ever have before. You're so easy to adore. Lord, I want to love you more.
I want to praise you more.
And Lord, I want to praise you more than I ever have before. You're so worthy to be praised. Lord, I want to praise you more.
That's beautiful. Start from the top again.
Yes, Lord, I want to love you more than I ever have before. You're so easy to adore. Lord, I want to love you more.
Just raise your hands.
And Lord, I want to praise you more. Amen. Than I ever have before. You're so worthy to be praised. Praise you more. Yes, Lord, I want to praise you more. Amen. Than I ever have before.
Hallelujah.
To be praised, Lord, I want to praise you more. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Yes, everybody ought to know who Jesus is.
Everybody ought to know.
Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Bright and morning star. Yes, he's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know.
Sing it again now.
Everybody ought to know. Yes, amen. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is, who my Jesus is. Everybody ought to know. Amen. Everybody ought to know. Yes, everybody ought to know. Amen. Who Jesus is.
Here's a few of his titles.
Oh, he's the lily of the valley, and he's the bright and morning star. Yes, he's the fairest of 10,000. To know,
if you want to sum it up,
he is my everything. He is
is my all. Yes, he is. He is my everything. You're dismissed, both great and small. He gave his life for me. Made everything new. Made everything new. He is my everything. So how about you? Some folks may ask me. Some folks may say, who is this Jesus you talk about? Every day he is my Savior. He sets me free. Now listen while I tell you what he means to me. Amen. He is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. He gave his life for me. Made everything new. He is my everything. So how about you? Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus I love him more and more. Jesus keeps and saves me, and he's the one I'm waiting for. Oh yes, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Yes, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day. Every day with Jesus, oh, I love him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me, and he's the one I'm waiting for. Oh, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And I'm learning to lean. Yes, I'm learning to lean. I'm learning just to lean on Jesus.